This episode of the UAV Digest is sponsored by Go Engineer, provider of design, engineering, and 3D printing solutions for the aerospace and unmanned vehicles industries. To learn more, visit theuavdigest.com/goengineer. And by UAV Propulsion Tech, a provider of propulsion, servo, autopilots, and rescue and recovery parachute solutions for the unmanned aerial vehicle market. For more information, check out www.uavpropulsiontech.com. This is episode 158 of the UAV Digest. I'm Max Flight in Hartford, Connecticut.
And I'm David Vanderhoof in a sauna. Well, I guess you're in a sauna too, Max. We're having a heat wave, a tropical heat wave.
We are.
Stinks.
Yep. Hopefully I won't drip sweat into the microphone and short the whole thing out before we finish. But it's going to be a tough task. Oh, well.
Unfortunately, folks, we have to do things like turn off the air conditioning and heat pumps and fans so you guys don't have to hear all of that extra background noises.
Right.
So we suffer. We suffer for our art.
But we do it, but I was going to say gladly, mostly gladly tonight. Tonight, I'm kind of wondering. But what are we looking at for this episode, David?
We've got police in their drones, a drone fatality, Disney in drones, Google wants to have a drone office party, where there are drones, there are anti-drone systems, and a very bird-like video of the week. So I guess with that, we should get started before we all melt. Well, our first set of stories come from opposite sides of the country. The first one was from Fox40.com. Modesto police unveil new crime-fighting drones. The Modesto, California Police Department has a DJI Phantom painted like a patrol car.
And they're using it like a patrol car as well. So we see here that three officer pilots are going to be using these drones for official police work only, which is good. And in fact, they recently used a drone to track down a suspected robber.
So Fox News reported, quote, the Modesto Police Department said their drone footage is subject to the same rules as their officers' body cameras. They added anyone has a concern that they invite them to speak with the department. It was an interesting, I really kind of find it interesting, Max, that it's comparing it to a body camera, which is a big deal now here in the United States. On a police officer.
Right, to document the events associated with, well, whatever kind of activity they're involved in. But I like it a lot. And the reason I like it is because they're not creating separate rules based on technology. You know, the general case here is police law enforcement taking videos. And I think that whether they're videos that come from a camera mounted on a police officer's uniform or one that's up in the air in a drone, it seems like the same rules of engagement should apply. What do you think, David?
I agree. And also, it's a perfect parallel because a police officer who has their chest camera on, their vest camera, will be videotaping things that not necessarily are part of the crime scene inadvertently because of the nature of the camera being attached to a moving object. In this case, a drone would be the same way. It's really not an invasion of privacy because it's an inadvertent, you're in a public space or whatever, to document the event. So I was really sort of flabbergasted at this comparison, but it's kind of a brilliantly perfect analogy and a perfect way to describe the drone's video footage.
And I think from a public relations kind of standpoint, I think law enforcement can have an issue here just because of people's apprehension about drones and invasion of privacy and worry that they would be used in ways that sort of extends the, you know, appropriate powers, the appropriate reach of law enforcement. So I think to draw this analogy is a great thing to do and something that you hopefully are explaining to the general public. But that's not the only police department or a government agency that's got some drone action these days.
And we'll hop back to the East Coast and my stomping grounds, where my family's from, which is Bergen County in Jersey. And they have now an exemption to operate drones for emergency response missions. Originally, the Bergen County Police Department had a police officer with a fixed-wing pilot's license flying the drone. Now they sort of broadened it out. So we're moving from 333 exemptions to Part 107 for Bergen County. And they have used them for a homicide suspect, a missing person, and a berm breach. You say that too fast three times.
Yeah. I guess a berm is maybe that's a New Jersey term. That's a sort of an earth structure to keep water back.
Earthworks, yeah, to keep water back. So, I mean, we've all heard Bruce Springsteen's Swamps in New Jersey. Well, that's Bergen County.
Yeah.
So that kind of berm or all the railheads, et cetera, that are up in upstate New Jersey. So interesting, though, that the public officials can fly drones after taking an aviation ground school class at a local college. Would be love to know what local college it is that's offering the ground school.
Hmm. Actually, I think they mention it in the article, but I'd have to check to take a look. It's a community college, I think, that they're doing this. But that's great to be working in conjunction with a local school, and that also lets them extend the drone pilot duties beyond just that one police officer to others that have taken this ground school class. So that's good.
This one I don't know what to make of.
Hmm.
I don't know if I really think it's, well, let's go with the headline first. This was from RT.com, which is Russia Today. First ever civilian drone death. Woman killed in police pursuit after UAV spotted over prison. The police received a report of a drone flying over the Wandsworth prison in England, and officers chased the car leaving the scene, which crashed a woman in her 20s and was pronounced dead at the scene. She may be the first person to die in a non-military drone-related incident.
It's kind of a
go
stretch.
Ahead. I don't know what to say about this.
I think it's kind of a stretch. For one thing, at the time that the article was published, they don't even know if the woman was associated with this drone that was spotted over a prison. Now, since she apparently fled the scene in a car at a speed that was high enough to result in a crash, I guess it's entirely likely that she did. But I think this is more woman killed in speeding accident during police pursuit than it is the first person to die in a drone-related incident. But it's, it's a
great headline.
It is a great headline. It grabs attention. And in this day and age of clickbait headlines, I think this one accomplished what it was trying to, which included us clicking on the link.
Well, we also got it from several people in our Slack team, as well as it showed up a lot in a Twitter feed. So Max and I needed to address this. That being said, I don't think it's the first fatality. So we're going to set this one aside and say, yes, we admit that there's a story out there, but not necessarily a drone fatality or a non-military drone fatality.
Right.
So let's talk about my sister-in-law's and my wife's favorite place in the world. And we talked about this, I guess, a couple years ago when we first started, but it seems to be getting closer. Disney might be building drones to use in its theme parks. And this was from businessinsider.com.
Now, Disney has applied for three different drone-related patents. One is called Aerial Display System with Floating Pixels. And this is all about using drones as, well, flixels, floating pixels, that could be used to produce aerial displays of different kinds, including possibly even a replacement for fireworks, for example. So that's one patent. Another patent, the second one, is called Aerial Display System with Floating Projection Screens. And in this patent, it contemplates drones that can carry projectors, or each drone a projector, a full-size projector, too, is the way the patent describes it, as well as kind of a screen that sort of hangs underneath. And these drones could use these projectors to display images or videos either on those hanging screens, if you like, or against buildings or other objects as well. So that's the first two patents.
Well, the third one is a swarm of multi-copter drones that operate as marionettes and puppets. And we've all of this technology we've sort of seen before, but, you know, this is the dancing swarms of quadcopters that we've seen happen. But I guess they'd be attached to...
like tethers, that strings that operate the marionettes.
Well, I was going to say Pinocchio, if we're going to go the marionette route, and sticky with Disney. So I.
There you go.
But my nose was growing there a little bit. But my biggest problem with all three of these patents is, here in the United States, over Anaheim and Orlando, since 9/11. There is an official FAA no-fly zone. So how are Disney going to fly drones in a perpetual no-fly zone?
Well, I guess they'd have to go for some kind of an exemption. Disney is an organization, David, that, well, isn't without some degree of power. So I don't know, maybe they could pull it off. Another thing that kind of gets me about that is that, about these patents, is that, I mean, are they really inventing something new? I guess these days in the United States, it really doesn't have to be very new to be patentable or to be issued a patent. Now, whether it stands up later on is another matter. But, you know, these, I don't know.
But Disney loves tech.
They do love tech. And
if there's a new way to provide a experience for the viewers, they will do it. And they're going to innovate. That's their big thing, innovation.
Well, and speaking of innovation, there's another patent that's not directly drone-related, I guess, that they received a patent for. And this is for, get this, foot recognition technology. And the patent contemplates a system that captures foot shapes and appearance, and then you could track guests throughout the Disney theme park based on, you know, those signatures, if you will, those feet of the people there.
Now, creepy.
That is creepy.
Creepy. And
now, combine that with the drones and...
I don't like Big Brother. I love Disney, but this is a little creepy, but... luckily, our story after it is even more creepy.
And it relates, the next story does relate back to this, some of these patents here. So this is something that Google has received a patent for.
Google wants to have drones buzzing around offices, projecting our face at meetings. In this day and age of virtual conferencing, they want to use it as a mobile telepresence system. So you'll be sitting in a conference room, and your little quadcopters will be carrying little projectors and will be showing your client in Tokyo and your client in Germany. And they would act as surrogate presences for it. This is just getting very creepy.
Well, one thing that comes to my mind, perhaps the first thing that comes to my mind, is that aren't most multi-copters a little noisy to have buzzing around inside of a conference room with projectors and screens? That I'm not sure how that would work. But the other thing is that how is this fundamentally a different idea than the Disney idea for drones that carry projectors and screens? Because the Google patent also deals with drones carrying projectors and optionally, according to the patent, a screen. Isn't it the same thing?
Yeah.
I don't know. Who can explain the U.S. patent system?
What is occurring outside and has Disney characters? The other one is occurring in an office space. It's still creepy. I looked at these two stories, right?
Yeah.
The Disney story was fine up until they got to the foot recognition software. And I hate conference calls. I hate video conference calls even more. Camera flying around you, recording all angles in your moves. Since I
think that'd make you self-conscious, David.
Well, it would eliminate my ability to take my nap during conference calls.
Okay. We'll have links to all of these patents in the show notes at the UAVDigest.com/158, the three Disney patents and the Google patent as well. So if you're interested/crazy/insane enough to want to tackle a reading a patent, we'll have those links so you can knock yourself out.
But you used to love reading patents.
I'm just so over past it? That now. Yeah, I'm over it.
Okay, let's talk about something that we seem to talk about on a fairly regular basis. Where there's drones, there are anti-drones. This first one was from Radio CZ or Radio Czech. Interior Ministry announces tender for drone killer system. The Czech police, instead of wanting to use drones, want a way to bring down their rogue drones.
Yeah, the Czech Interior Ministry has announced a public tender for an anti-drone system. And the idea is that it's a system that would be used to take down drones in no-fly zones or other restricted areas. According to the article, the deal is said to be worth 58 million crowns. I think that's around $2.4 million U.S., but I'm not sure my conversion factor is accurate. So if this is important to you, you can verify it on your own.
And the reason why is, according to the article, 15 drone pilots in the Czech Republic were fined for the improper use of drones, either operating the aircraft without a registration or failing to heed existing regulations. The minimum fine for misuse of drones is 50,000 crowns, or approximately $2,000 U.S., which is kind of amazing that if they've given out 15 citations for $2,000 apiece here in the United States, that's more than we know of that have been fined in here in the United States.
Yeah, that's right. And that's all in 2016 to date. So those 15 come from just this calendar year so far. So there are many of you out there, I think, who are involved in these anti-drone technologies. So if you're interested in maybe submitting a tender to the Czech Interior Ministry, check out the link in the show notes.
Okay, but wait, there's more. This is from dronegohome.tech, and the article is from entrepreneur.com. This startup wants to build a drone-proof fence to protect your property. We'd like to thank Jet City Star and Isaac at our Slack team, and he was, quote, having difficulty understanding how this works.
Actually, that's my comment. I'm having difficulty understanding how this works.
Isaac, I'm really sorry. My producer here and co-host is putting notes in that's not clarified.
Sorry.
So the founder of Drone Go Home believes that the rise of number of consumer drones gives needs for an electronic perimeter fences around the property. My interpretation of this, Max, was it's an electric fence like you would provide a dog.
But it's difficult to tell just how this works. So if you visit the dronegohome.tech website and you look under the heading, quote, the solution, All it says is patent pending, coming soon. So that doesn't tell you anything. Under how it works, well, there's a little bit more information. Drones go home, they say, apply a multi-layer security approach. Uses a positive security model, they say, one that defines what is allowed and rejects everything else. They say this should be contrasted with a negative security model, which defines what is disallowed while implicitly allowing everyone else. And they say that drones that are equipped with Drone Go Home's proprietary hardware and software are allowed to enter no-fly zones if they're configured with an authorization code for that particular no-fly zone. If they don't have the hardware and they don't have the appropriate code, what's not clear to me is how the Drone Go Home technology prevents the drone from entering that area. I don't know what it uses to take it down. Now, they do have a video on their website that is titled Drone Go Home Proof of Concept Demonstration. And we'll have a link to that in the show notes. And in that demonstration, they show a drone approaching the no drone zone. And what happens is I see that in this video is that when the drone approaches, it doesn't go into the zone. It instead goes up in altitude. So I'm not exactly sure how this drone is being controlled or prevented from entering the area. So I guess this is something that seems kind of interesting. It's certainly an area where there's a lot of research and a lot of interest going on. But I'm going to reserve judgment on Drone Go Home until we see a little bit more about just how this works.
Okay, I'll leave that. I'll let you have the final word on that one. So let's talk about a video of the week. And this is mybionicbird.com. And it's a drone that flies like a bird, like it flaps its wings.
It looks just like a bird.
And it looks just, well, if it looks like a bird and flaps its wings like a bird, it must be a drone, right?
It's even got a little beak and little beady eyes. It really looks like a bird. So they say that this drone can fly up to 12 miles an hour for 15 minutes flight duration. And it really, really operates like a bird. At the mybionicbird.com website, they say, a bird is not an airplane and does not use the same principles to get around. After watching how real birds perform, we developed and patented a control system that uses wing bending, enabling fast and instantaneous maneuvers that are not possible with a classical drift system. So they say that this system, coupled with its adjustable tail effect, you could even fly the bird around your sitting room. Outdoors, you get a range of radio control of 100 meters, they say, that lets you follow birds into the clouds.
And you know that somebody's looking at this going, oh boy, a stealth drone that looks like a bird that people won't pay attention to. So we had the article a couple weeks ago where in Afghanistan, the army was using, the U.S. Army was using sort of hawk-looking-like drones that at altitude would look sort of like a soaring hawk that to disguise the drone. In this case, it actually does look like and fly like a bird. So drones imitating life.
And this, as I see it, it has no other source of propulsion other than the wing flapping. So you don't have an electric motor buzzing around between that and between the way that the bionic bird looks. I think you've got something there, David, that this thing would be totally stealthy. I think that most people wouldn't even recognize that this wasn't a bird unless they maybe were paying really, really close attention to it. But you can be the judge of that. We'll put a link to the video right in the show notes and have a look. It's really kind of interesting technology, but it also points out, I think, that while we probably mostly talk about multi-copters, multi-rotors, and also fixed-wing drones, that doesn't mean that that's all there is to it. And here's an example of something that's, kind of in a unique class by itself.
And a lot of potential.
Yeah.
So it's it's a unique, like you said, it's a unique class, but it is kind of amazing, Max. We've come to think of drones now as quadcopters and hexacopters. When we started this time 3 years ago, you know, we were talking about predators and reapers. So now we're talking about birds that look like drones, and pretty soon there'll be dragonfly looking drones and little. So the animals keep creeping in, you know, where there's an animal that's got wings, it's going to become a UAS. So,
yeah. And that's kind of been a big part of the history of aviation, hasn't it, David, where mankind has sought to imitate wildlife when it comes to flying.
Right. Originally, that's how man was going to fly, by flapping his wings. Well, we figured out a better way of doing that. But, I mean, the ornithopters were a really important part of technology. It was a failed technology, but flapping wings works in the Dune series of science fiction and in reality in the early 1900s. So,
well, with that, I think we'll finish up this episode of the UAV Digest. We want to thank you all for listening. We especially want to thank our Slack listener team for all the great conversation about unmanned aircraft and as a source for interesting articles on this topic. But you can find us at theuavdigest.com. We have show notes at theuavdigest.com/158. That's the episode number. And, of course, there's lots of places where you can find us online and in the social media.
And like Max said, we want you to join our Slack listener team. You can do that by going to the website, theuavdigest.com/team. And you send us an email, we'll send you a link. And it's not just about UAVs. A lot of technology gets talked. We have a lot of people who are into big data as well as processing. And it's a really interesting conversation when it comes to UAVs. Now, we're not just talking about quadcopters or legal stuff like we normally do on the show. There's a lot of good information, and I tend to learn a lot. So you could also reach us on Facebook at facebook.com/UAV Digest. And we got an email today, Max. We have 8,500 followers on Twitter, and that would be Twitter at UAV Digest. So thank you to all of our Twitter followers out there. You can always email us at feedback@theuavdigest.com. Or if you'd like to talk to Max or I directly, it's max@theuavdigest.com or david@theuavdigest.com. Definitely, we need some more reviews on iTunes. We've gotten sort of stale. So if you got a moment, go to iTunes and find our show and leave us some feedback. That way other people can find us. Likewise, if you listen to us on Stitcher and or Google Play, especially Google Play because it's so new. And if you'd like to purchase some swag, we have a Cafe Press store at cafepress.com/theuavdigest. Or you can sponsor the show by becoming a patron at patreon.com/theuavdigest. And I want to let everybody else know something that we've talked about on our other show, but I think it's a good thing to maybe throw it back that Max and I do a show on Monday night called The Airplane Geeks, and we have a lot of people who listen to both shows. But if you are strictly listening to this show because of UAVs, given the integration into the national airspace, you might want to take some time and listen to Airplane Geeks and listen to our general aviation experts and talk about their challenges. And you'll probably see some commonalities, though we try not to admit that to them, between
flying is flying, right?
Flying is flying. So definitely give our big brother show a check out if you haven't already. So I guess with that little speech, I'll say this is David in Philly.
In Max in Hartford.
Thanks for listening.